Carol Duty, and welcome to our Westbury campus of Shelter Rock Church. I got to tell you, before I start, I was sitting there thinking this was not what I was doing at 16. So I just rejoice with Monica and Corey Johnson. That's Pastor Corey's daughter. Like, praise God. Look what they're raising up in their house. Woo, Lord have mercy. You know, my daughter Caitlin's here. She can tell you it's not that smooth in our house. So we are continuing with our series, Thanksgiving, which you have to love, right? A little play on Thanksgiving. And over the last couple of weeks, we've talked about how to respond to maintaining our Thanksgiving heart in trials and when good things happen. And, you know, before I continue, I really have to thank our church. I'm going to cry. I always cry. You're used to me by now. It's the first time I'm speaking since my mother passed. My mother died on October 8th. And this church, I got to tell you, I had 17 people in my house for a week. I never cooked a meal. This body raised up and took care of my family. We had a memorial service for my mother. 150 people there. Probably 125 were from Shelter Rock Church. You have no idea what bringing a meal, what loving us, what praying for us, the amount of cards. I'm sorry if you did something and I haven't written you a thank you card yet. The basket is this big with cards and just notes from people. That's Thanksgiving. That's pouring out from a grateful heart. That's saying that one of us is in need, one of us is hurting, and I'm going to love on that person. So thank you on behalf of my family. I just can't thank you enough. My family that flew in is just amazed every time they come. My brother died last year, Mother's Day, so it hasn't been an easy year, and you all showed up then too. So of course my family was like, oh, they did it once. You think they'll do it twice? And you did. So thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. I love you too. Okay. So today we're going to talk about the outpouring of a grateful heart. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 15. And what does that look like? Okay. So before we continue, I'm going to do a little one-woman show for you. And of course, if you know me, you're not going to think that's a stretch because I don't mind doing one-woman shows. But I'm going to invite you into my house. Now, some of you have been to my house, so this will be able to visualize. Imagine it's a Saturday morning. It's probably about 7, 8 o'clock. Everyone in the house, including my husband, is sleeping. And I'm up, and I've decided to pay the bills. Anybody relate to that? It's the first of the month. Actually, in my house, it's probably the 8th of the month, and I'm already late. So I have to pay my bills. I want to invite you to come with me and sit at my kitchen table and see what it's like genuinely to be in my house on the morning that I'm paying bills. Oh, so beautiful out. The sun is shining. So much to be grateful for. Oh, God is so good. Isn't God so good? I have this home, the kids, and Michael's sleeping too. That's the husband. Michael's sleeping too in warm beds. I know when the kids get up, I can put some food on the table. I'm really just so grateful for these blessings that God has bestowed in my life. You know, thinking back to myself, where I come from, you know, a high school dropout, now, you know, a law degree, living in a home when we used to be on welfare as kids with my mom, living in a one-bedroom apartment, and me, my mom, and my brother used to share a room. Like, look what God has done. He's just amazing. Okay, let's see what we have this month. Oh, another car payment. Like, how many car payments? Oh my goodness, like, it feels like 100 years. I guess it's 60 car payments, right? And the insurance payment is due. That's right. That's right, and Caitlin has a permit now, so we've got to add Caitlin to the insurance now. Oh gosh, what is that going to do to the insurance? Oh, that's right. I got to pay that tire bill. Remember, the car needed new tires. I don't know. I gotta check the checkbook. Is there gonna be enough to like pay those bills? And Man, the cell phone. We're shutting off all cell phones. We're getting rid of cell phones. I can't stand these cell phones. Like every month, like how would the kids need like $1,000 cell phones? I'm canceling this. Cell phones are out. All right, we're going to pay that bill. We're never going to have to pay it again. Yeah, is that reality? Is that reality today, right? You've got to pay these hundreds and hundreds of dollars on cell phones. And oh, the electric bill. I mean, listen, I appreciate heat and air conditioning, but we're getting rid of all lights. We're going to go to candles. We're going to unplug. You know, my mother said that if you leave the light plugged in, it actually keeps getting juice. So we're going to unplug all the, we're going to fix this. We're going to fix this. But, oh man, and the medical bills. Like, didn't I pay that $20 at the counter, but now they're giving me a copay again? Like, what's with the copays? Don't I have insurance for copays? I guess we'll, you know, we'll get to them. We'll check. But wait, what's this? Oh, wait, what's this? Oh, the donations. Oh, gosh, do I even have enough to do donations? Youth for Christ. Oh, I love them. You know, they're having that big dinner I should give. And, you know, I'm going to see that Craig Muller at church. He's going to know I didn't give any money. I guess we'll have to work that into the budget, you know. And oh, World Vision. Oh, remember that day that I was at that conference and they gave me that little boy? And here we are like 7 years later and he's still on the program. I guess I can't give up, right? He needs my $35. Oh, and remember that beautiful couple in Italy, Michelle, Michael and Christina, they do that sex trafficking stuff and bring prostitutes off the street. Gosh, I haven't sent to them in months. But you know what? I just don't know. Like, is there enough? Is there enough to, you know, I'll do this later. I'll do this later. You know, I haven't done my Bible study for the day. So let's turn to like happier things. Okay. So what's my daily bread today? 2 Corinthians 9:6-15. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in the thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Thank you that it pierces my heart as I go through these bills and these donations this morning, God. Move me in a different direction, oh God, that I may be obedient to give abundantly generous to your people, oh God. That I may not be fearful and anxiety-ridden and selfish and greedy with the blessings that you've given me, oh God. Work on my heart, dear Jesus. Show me the way, oh Father God, that it's about you and your people, not about me and my stuff, oh Father God. I'm grateful for these abundant blessings, God, that you have bestowed on me and my family, oh God, but show me how to give. Show me how to give joyfully and abundantly, oh Father God. I thank you and I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So this may be a conversation that you have in your house too. You're doing your bills, you're figuring it out. You know that the offering is coming on Sunday morning, and you know that people are in need in your community. But your heart, there's something going on. There's a disconnect between the way we show that we are Christians and our giving. And I wish I could tell you this morning that the scripture is about your resources, about your time and your energy and whatnot, but it's not. It's about your cash. And that's a really tough subject, right? I mean, everyone gets really tense when we start talking about money, but this is what the scripture is. And I would be offending God and offending what the Bible says if we didn't openly and honestly talk about it. So I know some folks might be shutting down right now thinking she's talking about money. But guess what? We have to talk about money. We pay the bills. We live. We buy food with money. We have to be open to it. Listen, I live paycheck to paycheck too. Am I blessed? I live on Long Island. I have a house. Absolutely. And I'm grateful for that. But this morning, God wants to talk to us. He wants to stir us up and say, are we giving abundantly, generously, maybe even above what we could even think to do? But what's putting the lid on that? What's putting the lid on our giving? What's putting the lid when the Holy Spirit is churning in your heart and saying, give, no, a little more. No, don't put that, give a little more. What's putting the lid on that? And so that's what we're going to talk about this morning. You see, Paul wrote this letter to the Corinthians. These were very wealthy people. These are people who had, they mined copper and silver, and they were cash heavy. And still he felt he needed to urge them to give. So imagine a heart like mine where I don't have a copper mill in my backyard, right? I'm paying the bills on the check that I have. How much more does Paul need to speak to my heart and say, Carol, we've got to work this out? So I think what starts the conversation is, what is this indescribable gift? Do we really have a hold on it? Because you know what? It's not about what you give. I don't care what you give. It's why you give. Why you give. We remember the woman that came with her perfume in the Bible, and she cracked it open, and the Pharisee said, is she crazy? A year's worth of wages? She's pouring this from her alabaster box on Jesus' feet? It wasn't what she gave. Jesus said, do you see her heart? Do we have a grasp of what grace is? Grace in Christianity is the free and unmerited favor of God as manifested through his Son, Jesus Christ, for the salvation of sinners and the bestowing of blessings. What is grace? In the New Testament, grace means God's love in action towards men who merited the opposite of love. Men and women who merited the opposite of love. Grace means God moving heaven and earth to save sinners who could not lift a finger to save themselves. And I love the broken record theory, so I'm going to give you one more on grace so we really get it. Grace means God sending his only son to descend into hell on the cross. I don't know about you, that's a vision for me. So that we, the guilty ones, might be reconciled to God and received into heaven. God had made him, Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, 2 Corinthians. So what is our response to this grace? What Paul is saying is, listen, Corinthians, there's a response to this grace that God has given you, that that you've been saved, that even when you're a sinner, it's all of us, guys. You might be really nice people, and I'm sure you are, but you're a sinner saved by grace, nonetheless. So what is Paul prompting them? He says, abundant generosity. He says, we are to sow. We are to give according to the calling on our heart. We are to trust that God will provide. You know, God doesn't say give someone everything and leaves you with nothing. It may be temporary. You may give a little something, go, I'm in a little bit of want here, but I'm trusting God to provide, and he provides. We are to bless others. We are created to bless other people. And most of all, we are to glorify God. Do you hear what the scripture said? By what you do, Corinthians, others will praise God. That's who we are. That's our purpose in life. So what is the issue? What Paul is addressing, what I like to talk about today, is the Holy Spirit will bubble up within you. The Holy Spirit will tell you, give. Give. Don't be afraid. Don't be anxious. Don't be selfish. Don't be greedy. Give. But what happens? You see, there's a lid on this pot. And the lid says, I don't know. I'm not sure I really can sow this generous thing. I mean, I get it. I get if I reap what I sow. I get God's grace. I get all that. But we keep putting the lid on the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit wants to blow the lid off your generosity. The Holy Spirit wants to deal with your fears and your anxieties and your greed and your selfishness and just explode in this community. So people say, I heard an outstanding number by Pastor Steve that we give out as a church. I'm talking like hundreds of thousands of dollars. This church gives to those in need all over the world. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. You know why? Because people go, who are those peculiar people? Who are those people that are willing to give so much, to sacrifice so much? And we lead them to Jesus Christ. We lead them to Him. So the first thing I talked about, fear, anxiety, greed, and selfishness. The first one I'd like to talk about is fear, emotional response to real or perceived imminent threat. And Paul has a response for this. Let your heart decide. Let not your fear decide. Has anyone here had a prompting of the Holy Spirit that said, I think you need to help that person. I think you need to write a check. I think you need to open your wallet and step out in faith. And you're like, I don't think so. Has anybody? Am I the only one? Really? Okay, thank you. A quick story. So I'm in the O'Hare Airport. It's probably 20 years ago. And I'm in the ladies' room, and there's someone in the ladies' room. I don't know if the men got it, but the women have it, who like puts the little napkins in place and fills the soap. There's someone in there cleaning the bathroom. And I'm in the airport, and God says, give her $10. I don't know why He picked $10. He picked $10. So I go, what? Like, the first thing, I'm like, I'm going to be totally embarrassed. She's going to think I'm a freak, right? Just walking up, giving her money. Like, do I do that? And then I open my wallet, and how much was in my wallet? $10. And I didn't do it. Fear welled up in me. Well, I'm in Chicago. I got to get home. Meanwhile, I had just come from a work conference. I had eaten dinner. I had a cab waiting at the curb when I get to JFK. But fear welled up in me. Do you know, 20 years later, and I still regret it. Now, I went to God and asked for forgiveness because I wasn't obedient and trusting at the time. But you can guarantee it's never happened again. When God says, Carol, go do, I check with my husband, and then I go do. And praise God, we're on the same page, you know? And usually He goes, give more. And I'm like, really? Love this, you know? But I regret it to this day. You know why? I robbed their blessing and my blessing. Because in Galatians 4:6, it says, you know what? You've got the Holy Spirit in you, Carol. And if you know Jesus Christ, and if you don't know what I'm talking about, this Holy Spirit thing sounds like just like something you're not familiar with, please, I'm going to be at the welcome table at the end. I would love to talk to you. Because when you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in your life, the Bible tells us that He deposits a guarantee, compassionate buddy to be with you all the time called the Holy Spirit. And that's who I'm talking about. And the Holy Spirit will rise up in you and say, give. But your fear, my fear, listen, I'm preaching to the choir. This is, when I was preparing this, God was like, this is you, Carol. This is you. I'm like, I know. Hopefully it's them too, you know. We also get anxieties, right? The anticipation of future threat. So here I am paying the bills, looking at Youth for Christ and going, I don't know, like, am I going to have the money? Listen, let me start with being free to be generous is not the freedom to be foolish. You need to pay your bills. You need to take care of your people, okay? That's not meant to say, write a check, you're not paying PS&G this morning. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is God provides, your needs, and then there's something after that that needs to go to the people of God and help them, and our fears and our anxieties. So we're all on the same page with that? Okay. So what is Paul's response to anxiety? He says, we'll trust God to provide, and God is able to bless you abundantly, having all that you need. I love that say, God meets your needs, not your greeds, right? He's going to provide for you. And I love Matthew 6, 26, 34. I don't have the whole scripture up here, but please read it. In that text, it says, are you kidding me? He takes care of the birds. He takes care of the lilies of the field. You are His children. What more will He do for you? You're anxious and worried. You know, there's that scripture. What are you worried about? Tomorrow's got its own issues. Don't be worrying about it. Put it to the cross of Jesus. Let him remove that anxiety. Take the lid off your generosity. And I love this one, greed. And I know, listen, none of us in this room will be like, I'm greedy. But I'm going to be the first one to say, I love my stuff, okay? I was sitting here this morning a little distracted, looking down at my boots who just got ruined in the rain, and then my new boots. And I'm like, Lord, help me. I'm distracted by my stuff. I love this woman. You may know her. Madam Blueberry. She's from VeggieTales. She goes to Stuff Mart. And she is euphoric over her stuff. She needs 97 spoons. She lives alone. She needs 97 forks. She loads up. Please watch the video. You can YouTube it. The wagons are out the door. The cute little broccolis and asparagus are helping her shop. I love, because I can relate to Madame Blueberry. Amen. And listen, I'm not saying you shouldn't have nice stuff. I'm not saying you shouldn't have nice stuff, but there's a difference of being a conduit and being a reservoir. See, it says, you're enriched, why? Read it with me. So that you can be generous on every occasion. We are blessed, people. I know, listen, I know months are harder than the others with the bills, but you live in the top 1% of the world. People in other areas of the world live on a dollar a day. And I know you'll say, well, they don't have the taxes we have, and they don't pay $6 for a Starbucks that we have. Nonetheless, a dollar a day, a dollar a day. So you're meant to be a conduit. Let it flow. The Holy Spirit, Jesus blesses you, blesses us. We're doing the bills. You know what? In hand to God, when I do those bills, every time I look at that checkbook and there's like nothing left, I go, thank God I can pay them. I don't say, oh, I wish I had more. I say, thank you, Jesus, they can even be paid, that the lights are staying on this month. So in 1 Timothy 6, 7 through 8, it says, for we brought nothing in, guys, and we're leaving here with nothing. You know, when my mother died recently, my mother had a two-bedroom apartment in Brooklyn, 1,800 square feet. Huge apartment. We had been in the apartment for 45 years. You can imagine the amount of stuff that was in that apartment. As my mother lay in the nursing home with a pillow and a blanket and a box of, what did my mother love?
Devil dogs.
Thank you, Greg. And a box of devil dogs. You know what that stuff meant? The junk guys came and picked it up. That's what, and we donated a lot, but at the end of the day, and I think about my mother-in-law, when she went into the nursing home, she had a suitcase and her pocketbook. Again, we're meant to be conduits, not reservoirs. Let's not hold on to this stuff. So selfishness, it's all about me. And Paul is clear to the Corinthians, and maybe he's speaking to your heart today, that this is about supplying the needs of God's people. It's about helping those who can't help themselves. You know, Paul was writing to the Corinthians about the Jews in Jerusalem that were poor, and he was trying to, like, ignite a fire in them, saying, come on, these are God's people. So when we take our offering, when we do special offerings, I know on Wednesday, we're going to be taking a special offering for an organization in Honduras. You know, really seek your heart. When the Holy Spirit starts bubbling up inside of you, let it blow the lid off. Because Ephesians 2:10 says, tells us, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do what? To do good works, which God prepared us in advance to do. You know, if I ask people here who've gone on mission trips, who've given just in any way, generously and with the right heart, they will testify the blessing that they get. It makes you feel good, because you know why? It's our sweet spot. God has created us for this purpose. And lastly, the response to selfishness is we're to glorify God. It's not about us. It's about us glorifying God because we are trusting in God and we are honoring God. But it's also about bringing others to God and how we're pointing to him in all that we do. So 1 Thessalonians, and this is in the New Living Translation, so it's a little different. Then the name of our Lord Jesus will be honored because of the way that we live. And yes, we will be honored along with him. This is made possible because of the grace of our Lord, grace of our God and Lord Jesus Christ. I have a cartoon coming up, and it's on this screen, and I was a little distracted by it, so I'm sorry. Let's read it again. Then the name of our Lord Jesus will be honored because of the way you live, and you will be honored along with him. This is all made possible because of the grace of our God and Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to show you this quick video. We were at the Unspoken concert last night, which I would highly recommend. They're really brilliant. We're working really hard to get them here on Long Island at one point. But Chad, the lead singer, was talking about his keyboard player and how he grew up in Santo Domingo, Dominican Republic, and he actually was a compassion ministry child. Like someone had adopted him, supported him for like 11 years, and then he came to the States and actually ended up, not at the current time, the keyboard player for Unspoken. Like, look what God can do with your $35 a month or whatever compassion ministry was 20 years ago. But I love this video. It's been a favorite of mine forever, and I'll just talk about what this message gives. Steve, can I just hit it to go? Like, he can't even lift that pearl, right? He can't, what is he going to do with this pearl? But he wants to keep it to himself. He wants to hoard it. He wants to, he wants to be greedy, you know? And that's just not meant who we are meant to be. I heard this quote, I almost think Steve Tomlinson said, but I don't know if I should give him credit for it. So the last raise, the last bonus, the last blessing that you got, the last inflow of cash that you got was meant to raise your cost of giving, not your cost of living. So how do we respond to this indescribable gift of God? We sow generously. We give according to how the Holy Spirit prompts us, and we let the lid fly off. We give, we trust that God will provide for us in our generosity. He's not going to leave you stranded, guys. We bless others with our giving, and we glorify God. That's thanks living. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much. I thank you for your word that was written 2,000 years ago, but so applicable today, God. I pray that as Paul stirred up the Corinthians to abundant generosity, you stir us up right here in Westbury, oh Father God. May we glorify you. May we bless others. May we not, pull back in our abundant generosity because of fear or anxiety or greed or selfishness, oh Father God. We glorify you today. We thank you for this day, and we honor your name in Jesus' precious name. Amen.